podcast of the Gain Nashville Sports Network.
Oh, yes. Welcome in ringside here on Ring Knowers. Connor Newt here with you. Christian Skelton, my normal co-host, is out this week, so I called in a little bit of backup. Oftentimes he's referred to as the suit or the King of Kings, but in my mind he's always the tribal chief. So I give you my tribal chief, Charles McCabe. Welcome.
Connor Newt, acknowledge me.
I do, in fact, acknowledge you.
Thank you for having me. It is nice to be able to talk a little wrestling.
I know. You are officially the second guest on this show.
Am I?
Yes.
Who was the first?
Nick Frazier beat you to it.
Oh, okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, he could tell some stories.
He had some great stories.
His grandfather, of course, wrestling.
Yes.
All that. So
he was great. But he only did about 30 minutes with me. Okay. I get you for a full hour.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do this.
So, first off, how are you? I know it's been a week for you.
It's been a week. But it's funny, and I know we're going to talk about Unreal, the doc on Netflix, that if you have not watched it yet, holy cow, is it awesome.
It's phenomenal.
But I really like getting the behind-the-scenes look of WWE and all of that and creative with Paul Triple H Levesque.
It's Trips. We call him Trips on this show.
H. Hunter. You know, with him, I kind of have felt that way.
Yeah.
I felt like I'm booking creative. that's kind of what this job is sometimes. But, no, I'm excited to be here and talk some wrestling.
Well, good. Well, let's start right there with Unreal. There's a lot of controversy around the show. A lot of old school folks are kind of pissed off at the idea of its existence. Are you okay with its existence and how it...
With Unreal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How it peels back the curtain. Do you think it's a little too far that they peel the curtain back?
Twitter and the internet killed kayfabe years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to like the joke of kayfabe isn't dead. It's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone. And I respect... You know, the old timers and their view on it, totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny, if you watch the show, you know, Taker's been around and in it, he gets it. He's doing LFG now, like he's doing his podcast where he's talking kind of behind the scenes stuff. Triple H, who was an old school guy, kind of an old soul. I mean, obviously he's at the center of it. The Rock. Grew up in the business, knew you had to protect the business, protect kayfabe. He's featured in it.
Mm.
So, Cody. I mean, so I think there's just an acceptance, and I like it because it's answering questions that I always thought I knew the answer to, but it's now giving me the answer to those questions.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. And what I really, and I don't want to play spoiler too much, I know we're going to kind of talk about
yeah.
it, but What I've really liked is listening to Abyss and some of the producers and kind of learning.
Who I didn't know was a producer.
Yeah, no, I did know that. But, but like how they factor into this. That
yeah.
I didn't realize that, you know, you have like Connor Newt running a match and maybe producing a rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of cool. And how they planned. So you watched the heel turn one, right?
Yeah, I finished the show.
Okay. So it was the first time that I had noticed in any of this that Seth and Punk were actually like talking,
yeah,
you know, and working through something. And so that I thought was very interesting because they have protected that rivalry.
Yeah.
The best they can. It like made you, and that's where I think it's at its best and why the, you know, this era has been at its best because it's the old school way of, man, is that real? Like, I think that yeah. might actually be real.
Yeah.
You know?
Like there are some stuff. You'll see, not to spoil it, but it's a documentary, so I don't really care. They get into that a little bit in the last episode. You know, they get into the whole Tiffany and Charlotte, if you
yep.
remember. They cut
yep.
that promo.
Yep.
Tiffany goes a little too far.
Is that in the last episode?
Yes.
But I've seen the clip of
yeah.
it. So.
Well, she obviously takes a jab at Charlotte, yep. and Charlotte fires back, and then it's brought up to Triple H's attention, and he's like, that's not how we do the business here.
Yeah.
She needs to apologize.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, maybe I'm young school. Is that a thing? Young school? Is that
it is now.
It is now. I love it because I always am listening to these behind the scenes. It's, you know, what is it? Inside the Ring. They do a lot of shoot promos, but interviews and stuff. This is how the business used to be. So for me, it shows how much it's changed and how, you're right, kayfabe is dead, but it's also still alive in some sense, because Cena, they have him on there too a lot, and they ask him, you know, what's next in your heel turn? What are we going to see? And he's like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
And that's the old school Cena that I like to see.
Yeah. And so I like, and I will say the whole show has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
The heel turn episode, it was brilliant making it like the fourth one.
Yeah.
But the heel turn episode was the whole reason that I wanted the show. I wanted to watch the show because, like, I wanted to know what those conversations were like.
Well, let's get into that.
And how Triple H broke it down of, okay, I talked to Nick Khan, or do you have that clip?
I do have that
okay,
clip.
Okay, I play. Sorry.
So this is Triple H explaining everything, how the heel turn came about, who he talked to. It's pretty interesting. Give it a listen.
There are five people that I talk to with a move this big. It's Rock. Obviously, it's Cody, Cena, Travis Scott. We want to help build this idea around. And then WWE president, of course, Nick Khan. So my first call is to Nick, who's also a board member along with Rock. I run the idea by him. Nick basically says, love all of it. So my next reach out to that point is to Rock. I hit him with, what if, hear me out on this. And he just listened, and every now and then through the conversation, he would go, I wasn't sure if he was giving me the, just get to the end so I could tell you how much I hate this, or, right? And I got to the end, and he was like, wow, man, I got to tell you, I think that's genius. Like, let's, you know, and he immediately started riffing thoughts and ideas, right? So we spent probably like another 30 minutes on the phone together talking about this. And the more we talked about it, the more we were both getting excited about it and like into it. My next conversation is with Travis Scott. I make sure Travis is comfortable with the creative. He loves it and says, let's do this. Somewhere near, Cody hits me back. I get with Cody. When I hit him with it, he's like, I didn't think that's what you were going to say, blah, blah, blah. Wow, that's really cool. Then I talk to John. John's the best with, like, he's like, well, before you say it, like, just know if this is what you believe in, I'm in. I said, John, okay, let's take the bullet hat off. Now, this is not... They had a creative talking to you, and you know, you the performer. I said, I am asking John Cena, the human being. Paul Levesque is talking to you. Give me your gut. This impacts John Cena, the real life human being, and it impacts his movies, and it impacts his PR schedule, and impacts everything. We're honest with each other. I said, give me your gut. You like it or you don't? And he was like, I like it a lot, actually. And when I hung up the phone with him, within a minute and a half, I've gotten like three different texts from him of thoughts, ideas. And so I'm like, right, he's engaged.
Brilliant oh, yes. Stuff right there. I mean, he breaks down every single conversation he had. Travis Scott, who I still don't think should have been involved.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, The Rock, Cena. I think my favorite part about that is he says, you know, the toughest part about the decision is it impacts John Cena, the human being. And he's right, because In that episode, they break it down. You turn Cena heel, he doesn't do the Make-A-Wish stuff anymore. He isn't doing the, which he still is as a heel. It's kind of funny.
Well, but my favorite thing that came out of the heel turn was Break-A-Wish.
Break-A-Wish.
Like, no offense, you know,
of course,
to Make-A-Wish, but like I saw that. I was like, that's pretty good.
But that episode in general, based on that clip and the further they go, when they show the actual heel turn, the camera angles, it's so precise. And, you know, Triple H is saying to the producers, all right, now he's going to do this and then this. And then he doesn't actually tell them that the heel turn is coming. He's just like, wait for my cue and watch this. And everyone in the back, Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, they are genuinely shocked. That call is 1,000% genuine. which is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And
I laughed at that because that sounded like The Rock.
Well, it sounds like something you would say to me. That's why I was laughing. But it's just that I could spend a full day on this, just breaking down this whole thing. But you can tell when they get back to the ring, I think I laughed when I saw this, was Cena goes from this deadpan, angry face to just smiling and laughing and high-fiving everyone in the back. And it's truly like, I remember when this happened, you texted me and said, this is your Bash at the Beach.
Yeah.
You will never forget where you were when this happened. And I think seeing how it was made and what went into it, it makes it even more special for me.
So I'm glad you brought that up too, because I thought about it at the time. Like, I'm watching it at my house. My friend Ricky's there. We both literally look at each other and go, holy bleep. You know, when it happened, because for 20 years, we've been waiting for this to happen.
Yeah.
And they decide, like, in his last year, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so which is brilliant, because you don't see that coming, because you think there's no way on the farewell tour they would turn John Cena heel.
But there was.
But they did.
Yeah.
So it was just that moment. But we were talking about that of like, okay, you know, and Hulk Hogan just passed away, so this is perfect time to talk about this. Where do you rank that? Hogan, to me, is still the biggest, most shocking heel turn of all time.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have Twitter.
Yep. And kayfabe.
And you truly had kayfabe.
I mean, go watch it with the beer cans are coming down on it.
The only thing that kind of almost screwed it up was Bobby Heenan going, well, whose side is he on?
Yeah.
You know, like when he did that. But still, it's like, here comes Hulk Hogan in the red and yellow. He's coming to help Savage and Lex and Sting, and he's going to fight these WWF guys. And then he drops the leg on Macho, and you're like,
that's so
what?
Good. Oh, you know? I wish I could have seen it live.
So, and I remember. I mean, it was something. But Cena was definitely the same feeling.
Yeah.
But it's different, because then you got the reaction on social media. They did a fantastic job not letting it get out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like
that's later on in that clip. I cut it off for time purposes. But Triple H literally says, you know, this stays between the five of us, that being him, Nick Khan, Cena, Rock, Cody, Scott. So that's six.
Yeah.
It didn't get out. Yeah. Which is
Pritchard knew.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he knows everything.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce is going to be.
Well, I'm sure some of the TKO people knew just for, you know, promotional standpoint.
But I thought it was cool that, I thought it was cool that Michael Hayes even was like, yeah, I didn't even know until like the day of.
I've got some beef with Michael Hayes after watching this.
What's your beef?
I think it was the first episode. They're talking about, you know, who do you guys think should win the Rumble? And pretty much unanimously around the room, they, Cena or Punk. Then Michael Hayes, of course, can't keep his mouth shut and pitches, let's have Jey Uso win it. And then, I have yeet fatigue, if you can't tell. This is kind of an anti-Jey Uso show, because Christian hates it as well. So hopefully never a guest on this
SummerSlam
show.
I got some slam predictions.
Okay.
To throw your way when we get into that.
Well, let's do that next.
Okay, let's do it. Well, if you haven't watched Unreal, go watch it.
Yes, please.
It's awesome.
It's a free ad, but please go watch it. We'll have more with Chase McCabe coming up next on Ring Knowers here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
In honor of SummerSlam, the best there ever was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be.
You messed that up.
Yeah.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be.
Yeah, he's a bit before my time. But welcome back to Ring Knowers here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe joining me for this week's episode. Let's do a little SummerSlam preview, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
First two-night SummerSlam, which I don't really know how to feel about that.
I think it's a mistake. I hope I'm proven wrong. But
I do too. But
so I want to say this before we go into the match card.
Yeah.
The reason that I think it's a mistake is there has been like zero build Like, yeah. There really has not been. Usually with SummerSlam, you get a WrestleMania-type build. The problem is they've had either a Saturday night's main event or a PLE basically every 2 weeks. And so you kind of have to build for those, and you can't really build for SummerSlam. So it's just been, I don't know. And I think it could come back and bite them, you know, with what they what they're trying to do with this two-night SummerSlam. But we'll see.
There's some really, really random matches on this card.
Yeah. There's some decent ones.
Yeah, yeah. There's some I'm very excited for. We'll get into those later. But we'll start with the really, really random one. And this is just based on the order that was posted on WWE. But the first match allegedly is probably the match I'm least excited for, but also most excited for, and that's Randy Orton and Jelly Roll versus Drew and Paul.
Is Drew going to be there?
He is. He confirmed yesterday he'll be there. But I don't see the point in it. You know, it was here in Nashville that the build for this match kind of started when Jelly Roll showed up and performed, and we got that whole segment. I really, really don't think I need to see Jelly Roll in ring, but it is what it is. Now, the other three I love from an in-ring standpoint. Randy is my favorite of all time, and then Drew and Logan always put on a good match. But I think it's pretty obvious Randy and Jelly are going to take the W home. But I just don't see the need for this
match. Is anything truly obvious, though, in this era?
No, no.
I mean, like, I could see an L, you know, going that way. You're probably right, but I definitely could see a swerve. So
yeah,
but I'm with you. And I like Jelly Roll. You know, Jelly Roll's a Nashville guy. It's cool to see that. It's just, I don't know.
I think he should be that first concert when the new stadium opens.
Respectfully, we'll disagree.
Okay.
My plan on that, real quick.
We talked about this on Saturday.
Two night concert with Garth Brooks. Night one, old stadium closes it. Night two, new stadium opens it.
And in the last night of the old stadium, you come over the intercom and say you have 10 minutes to evacuate before the stadium explodes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I you're right. I could totally see a swerve here. Nothing's ever truly guaranteed in the Triple H era. I just feel like you don't bring Jelly Roll in for an in-ring debut if he doesn't walk out with a win. And that's such a Vince McMahon era style of booking.
Yeah.
But that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross, another match I do not really care for.
Okay.
This one has had build.
They've had some build, but I think I like this match.
Yeah.
I kind of want a little more with this program, so I'm hoping this is just the first match in a series because...
Well, they did fight at...
Oh, you're right.
Night of Champions.
Yeah. Well, keep this going because Cross, I love Cross.
I do not.
Cross needs to be pushed. He needs a push. Sammy, I think everything, they've kind of run the court. I like Sammy too, but they needed something different for him. So, I don't know. There's something they could do with
it. I think Sammy's just kind of killing time because I think he's going to win the Royal Rumble this upcoming year.
So, you think next year is his push?
Yes, because the Rumble's in Saudi Arabia. He's beloved there.
Yeah.
They've kind of teased it occasionally with the whole Seth program he had going on. And that's kind of the build of this match, too, is Cross is like, you'll never win a world title. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just not a big Cross guy. That's just me. I think he's kind of lame.
Well, I think you think that because they haven't really used him.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't like Karrion Kross, or because they don't know who Killer Kross is.
Well, I loved him in NXT. I thought he was brilliant.
And he's just been backstage pestering people with his hot girlfriend.
Wife.
Scarlett.
I do like Scarlett. A couple of reasons.
I'm a fan. Yeah, two in particular.
I could see this one going either way. If they want to continue the program, you got to give Cross the win.
Yeah.
Because Sammy's got to get his redemption and what have you. But if you had to ask me right now, I think it's Sammy's winning.
Yeah, probably.
The next one, I think is really interesting, not much from a storyline perspective, but just kind of what it entails. It's Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez defending their tag team titles against Charlotte and Alexa.
So I think Charlotte and Alexa win this match.
I do too.
How long has Liv been out now? Two months?
2 months. I could see a return.
Yeah. I kind of feel like there could be a little something there too. I love what they're doing with Charlotte and Alexa.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're not friends, but they are friends. And
well, I love Charlotte because when she won the Royal Rumble, and they show this in the documentary, actually, mm-hmm. people hate her. Like, yeah. booed out of the building, heel. Not even a heel, just kind of hated. Now they do something different with her, and she's getting We Want Charlotte chants, and I love what they're doing. Yeah. I think it's great.
Now, the possible, let's keep this in the back of our mind, thought on this is, if you were going to book a heel turn in this, it's Charlotte. Like, everybody right. thinks Charlotte. I could see Alexa.
I would love that.
And
Alexa's probably my favorite women's star today.
Yeah.
I've always loved her.
Miss Bliss. I wonder if they would do a, you know, because I think eventually she's going to end up in the Wyatt Six. Because
yeah.
I think that's just destined because of her, how close she was to Bray.
Yeah.
So I think they win. And then, you know, are we going to see the full implosion of the Judgment Day at some point?
I think it's a weekend loss for the Judgment Day. Like, they all, except for Finn and McDonough, they all, like Dominic defends later, which we'll get into. But I think it's just going to be a collapse all weekend for them.
Okay.
But the next match on night one is the Women's World Championship. Or, sorry, not the World. The regular championship with Tiffany and Jade. This is another one you talked about that has had zero build. Like, they just kind of threw them in the ring and said, yeah, let's see it.
This could have been...
And I love both of them. Yeah. I think they're both great.
I think they probably finally put it on Jade.
I do too.
But, I mean, you got, again, and we kind of learned this in the documentary, you have two baby faces mm-hmm. that are going against each other. Bianca, I mean, does Bianca make a return?
A heel return?
Does she come back and cost Jade? That could be a possibility. But I think, I don't know. Just that my lean is that Jade wins the match.
Yeah, that's where I lean to. Tiffany's had a great run, in my opinion. I think she's been great. She's a young star. She'll definitely have the belt again. But you got to strike while the iron's hot, and Jade Cargill's hot right now. Now we're getting to the good stuff as far as matches on night one. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Braun and Bronson.
Yeah. okay, so here's my take on this one.
Okay.
I think Jey turns on
Big Moose. That would be so good.
I think Jey has been secretly working with OG the whole time. That's just because here's the deal. Jey got the push. The push worked. I know he's still hot. Like he's still, you know.
But from a storyline perspective, what are you
popular.
Doing?
But I think he would get nuclear heat if he turned on Big Oos.
That would be so good.
And joined this dangerous alliance that they're not calling the Dangerous Alliance,
but it
even
is.
Though it is the Dangerous Alliance with Heyman. And then he's there with Seth. Because remember, the whole thing has kind of been people that Seth had beef with, but he got them to join him. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I could totally see that being like the big swerve of night one.
I would love that, actually.
I think it'd be great.
Because I don't think they'll ever turn Roman heel again. I think he'll just kind of be.
No, yeah. I mean, I think he's.
I call him tweeners.
He's like Stone Cold. Like,
yeah.
He's just in The Rock. I mean, he just can't.
And honestly,
and
Punk.
And Cena. Yeah. And Punk. I mean, like, there's, you know. But, like, the biggest heels. Dominic might be the biggest. Dominic and Logan Paul might be the biggest heels in the company right now with the amount of heat that they actually get.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think that would be cool. Because, like, the other thing is, I don't want to see, like, I don't mind Jimmy, and I don't mind, like, the Usos are one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Right.
But I don't need to see them together again.
Yeah.
Now, if you, you know, if you did a heel turn and did it that way, like, okay. But, I mean, you could do something that, again, nobody sees coming except for me, because I just brought it up.
And now me.
And
now I
you,
know.
And have Jay turn on Roman, and it's like, then you book that program. Because yeah. you gotta build more time until Seth gets back.
Yeah. Although, the internet seems to believe Seth is cashing in on the next match, which I don't personally see. I think he's actually hurt. But Gunther is defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Punk. I'm going to go Punk. I think he brings it home.
I think Punk finally wins.
I think he does, because I think they're going to set up an eventual cash-in.
Yeah, right.
From
and
Seth.
And Seth. Now, again, do they go, remember when Cena got hurt and they said he was going to be out for a lot longer than he actually was, and he came in
the Royal Rumble? Yeah.
You know, could that be like Seth was legit hurt, but it's like, hey, you're not going to be out. We're going to say you're going to be out for all this long. And then
the
he
pop
shows,
would be amazing.
The pop, he shows up at SummerSlam and
I'd love
cashes
that.
In on Punk. That could be interesting.
Yeah. But I do think Punk wins.
I'm with you.
I think
it's time.
Yeah. I mean, they put the belt on. He kind of just won it over Jay, but I think they did that solely so he could fight Goldberg and have that program. And
well, and I think they're gonna Goldberg Gunther a little bit, where they're gonna have some shorter reigns with him, so it ups his count.
Yeah,
a little bit,
kind of like Cena. Yeah.
Kind of like Cena, because the other thing is, I would argue that, you know, Gunther should probably be like a 3 or maybe 4-time champion.
Yeah,
they just waited a while, you know, before they put it on him. But like, he could have, the year that he was like a finalist in the Rumble, he could have won the Rumble and gone to Mania, and I think he would have been. It would have been fun.
Yeah, he just had the mid-card title on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do like Gunther. I didn't like him at first, and now he's really, really grown on me.
Walter.
Yeah, Walter. He should bring that theme back. We'll have more coming up next with Chase McCabe, including a breakdown of Night 2 of SummerSlam right here on Ring Knowers on 102.5 The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
See, that's a better best there is. That's the GOAT right there. Like, and it just, this song just has a new energy now with the heel. Like, there's just so much aura.
I know, but the other thing is, like, there was a rumor that, well, no, it wasn't a rumor. He said he did, that he had recorded a heel theme. I wanted to hear it.
Yeah. We'll hear it someday.
Yeah, I could see him sneaking it out. Like, I wonder if, and I know we're going to talk about the card even more, but I wonder if the doctor makes an appearance on, because remember, Cody's like, I don't want this John Cena. I want the John Cena.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we get like the doctor of Thuganomics coming out.
I was never a doctor guy.
Oh, I love the doctor of Thuganomics.
I like the face that runs the place.
Yeah. See, I was the one that I was all about heel Cena. I needed heel Cena.
Oh, I love heel Cena. I think I'm the only person in my family that likes it, but
that's all right.
I love it. Ring Knowers here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt with Chase McCabe breaking down some SummerSlam. We just did night one. Let's move into night two. First match of night two, allegedly, these are obviously subject to change, is the most random match you could ever put together that they do every single big pay-per-view, and that's pretty much the entire SmackDown tag team roster in a TLC match. Loomis and Gacy of the Wyatt Six versus the Street Profits, who we have personal beef with here on this show.
Why?
They stood us up. They don't like us.
I think that's my fault. I don't think that's their fault. I actually think that might be my fault.
That's okay.
Because I went on vacation.
Yeah, I'll still take it out on them. Versus DIY, who my brother accidentally called DUI one time, and it has stuck. versus the Machine Guns and Fraxium and Andrade and Rey Fénix in a TLC match. I don't see the Six losing the titles here. They just won it.
Yeah,
there will be some interference. Like, the lights will cut out at some point, and then Uncle Howdy and Eric Rowan and who's the other one? Nikki Cross.
So this is the TLC?
Yes.
Yeah, they were
there's going to be interference.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this match because it's the largest TLC ever.
And the tag team matches are always good.
Yeah, and we haven't seen a TLC match in a long time.
Yeah.
So I think this will be cool.
Yeah. Well, we saw one. I think the last one was on that random SmackDown where the Profits won it.
Now, I'll throw something else out there.
Okay.
That I do kind of wonder. So tell me all the teams again. I know I had it, but I'm
Wyatt's, Profits, DUI, Machine Guns, Fraxium, Andrade, and Phoenix.
Could you see a scenario where a team gets taken out and it opens up a spot and the innovators of the TLC, the Hardys, get involved?
I could see it. Are they on their retirement tour of sorts?
I think so. But like if you got one more TLC or if they come out and they say like, you know what, we're going to make this even bigger. Dun, 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 dun. That place would pop.
Well, I think they're doing a program. I don't watch TNA, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I think they're doing a one last time program with them and the Dudleys.
I mean, they're old as, you know.
They're all, I mean, they're all in their mid-50s. Yeah. Like, I don't know how they move the way they move still. But that would be cool.
Yeah, it could be fun.
I
have no idea who wins that match.
I think it's the six.
Okay. You think
There's just going to be interference and like they're building this whole basically the SmackDown tag team division just all hates each other, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be interference in the six win and retain, and then they're going to plot who steps up now and all that. The Intercontinental Championship, Dominic Mysterio and AJ Styles. I do like the build of this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
Yep.
As much as I want to say AJ Styles is going to win, I think Dominic retains.
AJ wins. Book it.
Really?
I think AJ wins.
Really?
Yep.
I think Judgment Day is going to get involved and cost AJ.
I think Judgment Day is just blowing up.
Really?
Like, I think Finn could cost Dominic.
I can so see that, though.
And remember, there's history with AJ. Like, they were in the Bullet Club together and had, you know, have that.
I forgot about the Bullet Club.
So maybe it's a face turn for Finn because they've kind of made Finn a little more happy-go-lucky. And
yeah. Bring back face Finn.
Bring back demon Finn.
Oh, I miss the old theme song and the old entrance and, you know, what was it, 2017, that Finn. Bring him back.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
The Balor Club.
Oh, I was so excited for the Balor Club. But I don't know. I could see this one going either way. I just feel
we'll be Dominic. Different. You say Dominic, I'll say AJ.
This is debate. This is what sports talk is all about. This next one will be really fun because the last two they've put on together, last three technically because they were in a triple threat together, Becky and Lyra for the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
I think Lyra gets it back.
I think she does too. They've been good matches, but I'm ready for this program to be over.
But the matches are awesome.
I mean, I think Bayley gets involved because she's not on SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So there's
something
there.
Which they're doing her so dirty. Like she was off WrestleMania.
There's a build. There's something here.
Yeah. I love Bayley.
Maybe she becomes the female member with Heyman and that group.
Yeah. I would like that to be Becky, though.
Yeah. Becky and Seth.
Yeah. That'd be so good. It'd be like Edge and Lita. Be awesome. But I think Lyra retained. She'll get it back because they've been building it, you know. She'll win. This will be a good one, too. The United States Championship steel cage match, Solo and Jacob.
That'll be a good match.
That'll be fun.
I'm excited about that one.
I'd have to flip a coin on this one because I can really see it going either way. I love Jacob Fatu. He's one of my favorites on the roster right now. But Solo, this new...
I like the fun Solo.
He's just so funny. And I don't want to like him, but I end up liking him anyway because I think he's so funny. So I'm kind of okay either way who wins. But if you had to hold me to it, I think Solo will probably retain the bloodline, the MFTs, which I still don't understand what that stands for. But
My family tree.
Ah.
Yep.
Interesting. They'll get involved. And
probably.
somehow pull Solo out, and Jacob will be pushed to the main event scene, which he should be. He's awesome. The Women's World Championship in a triple threat match. This is going to be awesome.
Yep.
Naomi defending against Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. I truly think three of the best competitors on the entire roster.
I think Naomi retains because
I do too.
She just cashed in. But here's the but. Eventually, Rhea's got to win this thing back.
Oh, she will.
Because Rhea's been like chasing it basically this whole year since she lost it to Io before WrestleMania. So I don't know. I mean, that could be, you know, could this be like, hey, Naomi, here's your flowers. I mean, I know she's been a champion before, but, and then put it back on Rhea, or there's a draft soon in there. Like, aren't they? I think they're going to do a shake.
I don't know how the draft works because they do the draft and then they end up shows anyway. Yeah. So
I'm wondering if maybe, like, if Jade wins, give me Rhea and Jade.
Oh, yeah.
In a program.
That'd be so
good.
Now,
that's WrestleMania caliber, but, like, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah.
So I would think Naomi retains, but I could be wrong.
I am expecting, as Dave Meltzer, who I hate, would put it, a five-star classic.
Yeah.
This will be good. we're going to spend some time on this one because I got some takes. The main event of SummerSlam, a WWE Championship street fight between the greatest of all time, the Never Seen 17, gracing where SummerSlam at New Jersey with his presence one final time, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. I see double turn.
I see a double turn too.
I see it so clearly because I think it's going to get brutal, and I think The Rock is going
to
come out.
I was about to say, I think Dwayne.
And I think.
And we get the throat slash in the three.
Yep. But it's not Cena this time.
No.
It's Cody. He's sold out, and he covers, and he wins it back. Then we start wrapping up the retirement tour with everyone wants to see babyface Cena one more time. So we wrap it up. And, you know, Cody has a way to elevate. He's heel now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk nuclear heat. He'll get
some nuclear heat. Especially, like, if he goes back to his natural hair color.
Oh, the brunette?
Yeah.
He should go, what was it he did in AEW when he went full heel and returned? He went, like, jet printer black.
Yeah.
It looked so dumb. But he should do that because it would be funny.
Yeah.
But double turn, I think, is coming.
I think, because I read a rumor that there's like a huge heel turn that could be happening. So it'll be him. I think we're ready for Cody heel.
I am so excited for.
Yeah.
I love babyface Cody, but I think he's just kind of gotten a little stale.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of comes out politician, cuts the same promo every week, and we sing. And
quarterback one.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see heel Cody. Like,
I want to see heel Cody, and then somewhere give me Punk Cody.
Oh, that's WrestleMania worthy.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I think that would be, but
I think you're going to get Roman and Cody again.
I think you're going to get Roman Cody with Cody as the heel.
Yeah, you're going to get that again. But there's so much you can do with that, like Roman Cody, Punk Cody.
So let me,
Jay Cody.
Let me book for a second.
We'll play, we like to do that.
We'll
here.
Play 2K25 and book for a second. I think on this, what if everything that we just said happens, then on this retirement tour, maybe at Survivor Series, we get Rock Cena 3.
Oh, just get me Rock in any capacity.
Because he's done what I love is that they have done, you know, the callbacks. Orton, R-Truth, Punk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me Rock Cena 3 at Survivor Series, and then
Rock as a full blown heel.
With
this
Rock
time.
As a full blown heel, Cena back to babyface,
mm-hmm.
and then you set up for December. Whoever his final, because his final match is, I know it's rumored to Gunther, and then there was somebody else.
Braun Breaker,
which I'd probably sign up for that.
Yeah.
And Cena will go out on his back. He will put somebody over. He's true to the business.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
I think they'll make him win his last match.
I don't. I think
really.
I think,
especially in his hometown.
I think tradition of the business means too much to him, and the tradition of the business is you go out on your back.
Yeah.
So I think he will put somebody over. Now he can put somebody over and still win the match. Kurt Angle was the master at that.
Yeah.
Of whatever, but I don't know. I think that he would make sure that Braun won the match. If it's Braun, then
I'm going to cry like a baby when
he
wrestles his last match. I don't cry during wrestling because I don't think there's really a need to.
He's getting the thing is, and what makes him the true greatest of all time is he's getting the send off that many didn't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Steve Austin was just, he just couldn't go anymore. And he and Rock had one hell of a final match that Rock actually broke character and was like leaning on him, like, hey, man, I love you. Like,
yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But I mean, his
was that
body,
17?
19.
Okay.
They fought at 15, 17, 19.
Okay.
But his body was just done.
Yeah.
At that point. You know, Rock still has a few more in him. Flair, they tried, and then he went to wrestling gyms.
He's had like 18 retired
Hogan
matches.
Kind of was the same. Like Triple H didn't get the you
his
know.
Was super abrupt. I remember
right because he had the heart thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he had one more. He wanted to do one more WrestleMania match, but he had the heart issue.
Yeah,
so I think I like seeing a guy like Cena being able to truly go out the way he wants to go out.
Yeah, Goldberg wanted that. Did you hear that? We talked about this a couple weeks ago on the
Goldberg
show.
Wanted that and then still bitched about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Not a love WCW Goldberg. Do not like Oldberg.
No.
Not a fan of Oldberg.
I was always a Bret Hart fan. So,
right.
You know, Bill Goldberg.
Oh.
Yeah. I was never a huge fan. So
yeah.
That was me.
Well, we were going to go three or four segments, but we've used all our time.
Oh, there
so,
we go.
So
well,
we're going three. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah,
I know
thanks
you've
for
had
me, man.
Quite a week.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that.
When you're the suit, it happens.
I mean, everyone keeps grooming me into the suit. Like Max Hurst tells me all the time, you're the baby suit. You know that, right?
Well, I think I've told you that.
Yes, you have many times.
You remind me of me, which is good and bad, I guess.
Again, my thanks to Chase McKay for joining me this week on Ring Knowers. Christian Skelton will hopefully be back next week. We have no idea where the hell he ever is, but I digress. As always, make sure you hit that follow button. Make sure you look for this podcast wherever you find your podcast, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you can listen. On the Game Nashville Sports Network here on the Pod Center. Also, make sure you listen to my colleagues, Parker Kelly with the Air Raid, Nick Frazier with Talking Calcio, Chase McCabe, of course, with Chase and Checkers. All of them are great as well. We'll do this again next week. I am Connor Newt for Ring Knowers here on 102.5 The Game.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.